This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In a minute, war and warriors, ancient and modern, through the Greek tragedy Ajax. But first, we're joined in the studio by All Things Considered host Sasha Pfeiffer. Hi there, Sasha.
Hi, Meghna and Anthony.
What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Well, we are certainly going to continue the coverage of how the Egypt uprising plays out. And the concern now is that the next country could be Algeria, where we see these kinds of uprisings. So we're going to hear about that. We're hoping that later in All Things Considered, we're going to be talking with the head of the MBTA, Richard Davey, about this plan announced today that for the next snowstorm, they may just cut commuter rail service. They're saying that if they have fewer trains out there, they're less likely to break down and have problems with the tracks not being cleared. But of course, some people wonder, well, if you're telling everyone not to drive and take the commuter rail, what are you going to do if there are so many more people on the trains and there are fewer trains? So we're hoping to have that as well, which I think should be interesting.
WBUR Sasha Pfeiffer, host of All Things Considered, coming up in about 12 minutes. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
The Greek tragedy Ajax, written by Sophocles in the 5th century BC, is the story of a once proud soldier driven mad by war. A new translation of the play is now on stage at the ART in Cambridge. Ajax tells the story of one of the heroes of the Trojan War. He's a loyal and devoted soldier who does all that is asked of him. But when the armor of the celebrated Achilles is awarded to his rival Odysseus instead of to him, Ajax feels betrayed and abandoned. He becomes enraged and goes mad on the battlefield, bringing shame to himself and to his family. A few days before the play opened, we watched actor Brent Harris, who plays Ajax, rehearse a pivotal scene in which Ajax begins to lose his mind.
Please, bend, come to your senses.
Oh, God. I let my enemy slip from my hands and massacred cattle. Wetting my hands with their dark blood.
But do you still grieve? You can't undo what's done.
Odysseus! See my humiliation! I know you're laughing at me!
The gods decide who laughs and who cries.
I wish I could get my hands on him now. Even ruined as I am.
Don't make threats. Can't you see the danger you're in?
Oh, Zeus, I want to kill him!
Just before he rehearsed that scene, I asked actor Brent Harris if Ajax is a good man and a hero, despite his madness.
This is one of the great questions. I mean, he is, in the context of the Trojan War, undeniably he is heroic. And undeniably he is not given what he is owed. That he can't just say, oh, okay, I accept that. I accept not being given my due.
Not winning the suit of armor.
And understandably he reacts to that because he's pitched his life at such a level of accomplishment.
That theme, a hero confronting the reality that his time of glory is over, defines the tragedy of Ajax. It's a theme that's eerily relevant today as we consider the lasting impact of two wars on modern soldiers in the U.S. And it's one of the reasons that this play is part of something called Theater of War, a project that presents readings from dramatic productions like Ajax to military communities, soldiers, veterans, and their families across the country. I talked about this with Sarah Benson, director of Ajax at the ART, and asked her why she was motivated to stage this play.
I mean, I think I've always been interested in what happens when you're passed over, what happens when, you know, you've been valued in one way, but, one context, and then in another context, you become useless. You know, we're going through so many changes as a society. Coming out of a war ourselves, going through huge economic, political, upheaval. And so I'm interested in what happens to people when they're put in a situation that's changed all around them, that the landscape shifted under their feet.
It seems like one of the things that's speaking to now, with a country involved in a couple of wars, we have all kinds of people coming back and having to reintegrate into society.
Absolutely.
We once relied on them to be mighty warriors. Now they have to be something else, right?
I mean, is this exactly. I think that's exactly it, that they're people who've been very necessary and useful in one context, and they're almost threatening in a civilian context. And when I first started thinking about directing this play a year ago, there were so many stories coming out in the media at the time with, looking at soldiers dealing with PTSD, all these military suicides that were occurring in these call centers. it was shocking how similar contemporary soldiers' experience was to exactly what Ajax is going through.
Amazing that this ancient story rooted in Greek mythology resonates today around these issues. Was it hard to sort of bring out that resonance, or did it just sort of yell out to you?
Yeah, unfortunately, it yelled out loud and clear. I'd like to think that we learn and progress, and I think we do, but I think it's cyclical. And, you know, I think that ultimately we're dealing with, you know, a lot of the same issues that Sophocles is wrestling with as a soldier himself and, you know, writing for, you know, a population who are dealing with the aftermath of a war. So, you know, I think one of the functions of art is that we can learn from watching other people go through experiences. And so, you know, I think the plays at the time definitely functioned as a kind of healing process. And, you know, I think I'm happy that we're doing the play today.
Let me ask Brent a couple of questions about this. What attracts you to this character? Why are you pleased to play him?
One of the things I think is that he's so different from me personally. I mean, he's an incredibly inflexible person. He's an incredibly valuable warrior. He's the best that the Greeks have. But what makes him a great warrior is the thing that makes him so difficult to live with. Mm-hmm. And so I found him just very, very different from me. And I think that's always amazing to sort of confront a character and you just scratch your head and you don't know exactly what to do or how to get into this character. For me, it's one of the most moving things about theater is how we take on other people. We use parts of ourselves to inhabit this character, but we use everything that we can see. And it really makes me observe more closely. I have to look at people, think about people I've known in my life who are this type of person.
Sarah, who should be seeing this play? Who is it sort of speaking to? Everybody? Or, I mean, of course, as a director, you want everybody to come, but I still want to ask the question, you know, who really needs to see this play?
I mean, I'm very, I'm really excited that we're partnering with Theatre of War on this project, and we're going to be including, you know, mixed civilian military audiences for Theatre of War. So I really hope that, you know, we also have a mixed audience seeing the show. Just a big range of people who've had all different types of experience and exposure to war. You know, people find it reassuring that soldiers 2,500 years ago were going through many of the same experiences that they are. So I think it's a bridge for people to, you know, process what they're going through and to find a way of ultimately moving on.
What was Sophocles' message here? Did he write something to be deliberately anti-war?
I don't think so. I'd like to have a conversation with him myself, I have to say, and pose that question. You know, as a director working on a play by a dead writer, it's something you obsess about and try to kind of unearth. But yeah, I think, you know, Sophocles was, as I said, was a soldier himself and is writing for, you know, an audience who've, you know, many of them have fought themselves and have been through the experience of the Trojan War. So I don't think it's an anti-war play or a pro-war play. It's looking at ultimately what could be a very divisive, difficult situation and looking at how a community can bind together in that situation and that something positive can come out of it. So I think that's the ultimate message that he's putting across, at least as I understand it.
And then at last, die myself.
If you pray for that, pray for my death too. What point do I have in living when you are dead?
Darkness. My light. Gloom of death. Radiant to me, take me.
And that was actor Brent Harris, who plays Ajax in the ART production of Sophocles' play, now on stage in Cambridge. We also spoke to Sarah Benson, the director of the play, which runs through March 13th. And before we go today, this political note from just north of the Massachusetts border.
That rock-hard demeanor, that independent streak.
That hair, so well-chiseled.
Maybe the Donald would be a perfect fit for New Hampshire.
Or maybe not. In any event, as he revealed yesterday in an exclusive interview with Manchester's WMUR, Donald Trump is seriously considering a 2012 presidential run.
Speaking of New Hampshire, Trump says he's been here many times. And while he doesn't exactly recall when the last time was, he says he can relate to Granite Staters.
I love the attitude of the people. I love the fact that they love working, because I love work. I'm a worker. They love working. New Hampshire's a great place.
What do you think about New Hampshire's role in choosing the next president?
Well, it's a very important. I mean, it used to be the first in terms of timing. Now it's the second in terms
still the first
of
primary.
Purely timing, but it's really the first primary. And I love it. I think New Hampshire's a great place. I've been there many times. I have many, many friends that live up in New Hampshire, and they're great people.
He's got friends who live in New Hampshire? Really? They like to work. Isn't that nice? So, Granite Staters, the Donald thinks you're great people, but I want to know, is that enough?
So let us know at WBUR.org/Boston or on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. And by the way, though the New Hampshire primary is a full year away, Trump says he'll make a decision by mid-June.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.